Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, happy Aloha Friday at that. Welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. As always, this is a tremendous joy to do for me. I get so excited that I actually have to work on keeping my voice from trembling. Today is a special episode because we get to bring on our first musician as a guest. We've had a director who made a musical doc, and I've always wanted to intertwine music and film because I just think that they're first cousins. So today we're joined by two guests from Hawaii, and it's really exciting because I'm from Hawaii, and this episode I don't really want to mention certain things about myself because it's about the guests, but I relate to the aloha spirit that these artists have, to the generosity that they have, and to the gratitude they have. We're here with Angela Pret, who is the manager of Mr. Aiden James, who is now, 14 years. And what I want to say real quick, briefly about Aiden James. And again, anyone, for the guests, feel comfortable to take your, you know, a drink of your water or tea. We want this to be very laid back. We're not, you know, we'd rather have that than have you have dry throat for 30 minutes. I was introduced to seeing Aiden James play at the Whiskey A Go-Go. And I was writing for a magazine at the time, and I remember it was just so exhilarating, the thought of a 12-year-old playing at the Whiskey. Legendary venue. Everyone who's played there, you don't even really need to know your rock history to know who's played there. And I just thought, what could come off of this stage that housed Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and the Doors and Aerosmith? And it was just this amazing show, this unlimited passion. And it wasn't coming from the way now we have younger guitarists, you know, John Mayer, Derek Trucks, Joe Bonamassa, who have all trained with Eric Clapton and B.B. King. But they've, you know, they've been doing it 20 years. So rightfully so, they should be touring with Santana. But I was looking at this as is that even if he played ukulele the day he was born, he couldn't have put in that much time. So it was a really fantastic experience. I just had to get that out. We'll start out just briefly with Angela Pret, who worked in numerous areas of film, television, commercials, started out as set PA. She has the experience of working on Along Came Polly, Blue Crush, Snakes on a Plane. Please remind me to hug you asking you questions about that movie at another time, Angie.
Okay.
And also the husband, he goes just by Chico, right?
Chico Powell. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Chico Powell was in the business, and it was so nice to meet him too at the Whiskey. I had to kind of refrain from how excited I was that he had worked on The Rundown. But basically, Angie got her experience all over working on different shows. She's worked with producers like John Wells, which to me, you say, I think John Wells, I think The West Wing, last year's film, August Osage County, or 2 years ago, brought Julia Roberts back into the Oscar nomination category. She just had such a diverse career, as I read your bio here, Angie, from going to school at UCSB, Santa Barbara, working as a festival director assistant, travel coordinator, celebrity wrangler. We all know what an interesting job that is.
That was for the Hawaii International Film Festival, yeah.
Yeah, for HIFF, yeah. And HIFF has been around, are they on 33 now, or is it 35?
Yeah. 35 going on 36 this year.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Okay, I was going to say, I got that little, like I had mentioned to you, sometimes I get numbers off. So it's really cool. Angie has this expansive where she's been a AP and production supervisor for Hawaii Five-0. She's been involved with the Hawaii International Films that brings films to Hawaii and in turn supports younger filmmakers. So it's not a surprise to me, not just that it's her son, that she dedicates her time to helping young artists and continues to help younger artists in very various ways. One thing, Angie, just because we did have you on the phone, you have the experience you have, in any way possible, we've been trying to get what female women think about this diversity movement, not the Oscars or race or Oscars so white, but just this, you know, insurgence of female made films and workshops at AFI for just females. Do you have any kind of a viewpoint that you could share on this, since you are a woman who got to a very high top level position for a network show?
You know, it's funny, Paul. First of all, thanks for having me. Can you hear me okay from the speaker?
Yes.
Okay. So, you're right. I mean, this business is mainly, it's predominantly male. And even on my last big show, which was Hawaii Five-0, which I was on for, you know, four seasons and the pilot, pretty much all male in terms of the, you know, producers, EPs at that level, even key departments. So, you know, I don't try to look at it that way. You know, I think that you try to be equal in all, you know, in terms of not just work and relevance, but just all around and treating people equally as a human being. But you do feel moments of when you are a woman, you know, and I felt that a lot on 5-0. Not that it was a bad thing. Actually, I think it's a great thing, and it was a good, I would get lots of comments saying, you know, you're in such a great, powerful position with all these men, Angie, you know, do your thing, you know. And all I would do is, I mean, it's based on what I knew of production in Hawaii. That's my forte. And being the go-to person, you know, me or a couple others that are in Hawaii, you know, it's an important role, and you have to make sure you represent well and be knowledgeable and be able to accommodate and educate, you know, people from the mainland, especially in Hawaii. I'm talking about Hawaii because that's my forte and where I did the majority of my business, you know. But I don't try to look at it that way. I just, you know, if I'm in a position where I can be at a level to talk with people, whether it's men or female, men or women, I don't look at it that way. I just, you know, do what I have to do. And if we have that, if there's a way to say that there is power to it, then great. But I think when you work amongst each other equally, you shouldn't really think about it that way. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy that. Basically, we never really, it sounds so cliche that no answer is a wrong answer, but that was a great way of putting it, because that's exactly how I feel. I looked around and thought, well, the first job I ever got was because the Honolulu Film Commissioner, Balea, that my first set boss was Renee. You actually almost hired me for Hawaii. So it was like, so I started going back through things. I mean, Judy Drouse got me on my first film set. Anita got me my first printed film magazine gig. So I was kind of thinking, not saying it doesn't exist, but when I made a list after all this came out, I was like, well, I have a lot of male mentors who have done a lot for me, but in terms of giving me the actual gig, even Angela Tilson got me on The Descendants. I haven't had actual paychecks come through, from that scenario. So that's why I have a really weird take on it. And that's why I side with you, where I'm just like, it's about people. And if it's a great vision, and this is the last thing I'll say before we jump into Aiden, is that we had a guest who came on and she made this short film, and her name was Tessa Blake. And I happened to see this shot, and I was like, I swear that's Nimitz, but she's from L.A. How? Why would she? Well, long story short, I got to the credits, and it had Vince Lucero, and I saw Joji in one of the wedding scenes. And so when we had her on, she got to talk about shooting in Hawaii was one of the best experiences of her career. Now she's teaching a directing workshop at AFI, and she's directing NCIS New Orleans. And to me, like, you know, because you've been in there with most of them longer than I have, but to me that speaks tremendous volumes when a director who's making a show like NCIS that's at such a peak is saying their favorite people to work with are the Hawaii guys. So that was a big reason why of what today's show was about was the show. I don't mean it in a bad way at all, but I feel like Hawaii is no longer just palm trees. It's no longer just a cool location. It's no longer a nice paid vacation and per diem. It's a place that's rich in stories and culture. And I'm speaking to audience here. You guys obviously know and spread it in all the different ways. I mean, film, television, and music. But I did want to thank you, Angie, for coming on the show and let you know that you know, any guest that comes on is always welcome back. You're considered, the other guests don't understand this, but you're considered a Hanai cousin of the show. So anything you need, just let me know. And I, cause my, when that filmmaker told, when I saw that filmmaker had used Hawaii crew, I thought this is that aloha spirit that I wanted to put out there. This filmmaker was working with fellow locals. And so inadvertently, we got to share that. So with that, we'll segue into
Let me just add one thing. I'm so sorry. You know, as we're in a production, no matter what it is, low budget, humongous budget, commercials, TV, film, you know, music videos, whatever it is, when you are in the project, whether you're a woman or, you know, a man or a talent or, you know, producer or whatever level you're at, you become, you know, a team. It should be that way. And it's a and you need to collaborate and be together. And that's why, you know, that's why I don't even look at levels or, you know, the fact that if there's women there, that's great and it's awesome. And especially if they're knowledgeable and really good at their job, you know, I think it's recognized, you know, and awarded in some way. But I think, you know, it's always a collaborative effort. And I always like to try and educate them, you know, the new ones coming up and you know, any way I can. And also speaking on top of that, you know, with Spotlight winning the Oscar this year, the two producers were women, you know, and that was just awesome to see, you know. And I'm sure the cast didn't think or anybody around them thought, oh, you know, it's two women winning, you know, not men for, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's, I never looked at it that way. I just thought how awesome, you know, they put a great movie together.
Oh, yes. I mean, it has to be. I mean, like one of the documentary nominees was What Happened, Miss Simone, about the, about Nina Simone. You cannot, can you find a better, introduce me to her, please. And, what was interesting about that film was that film didn't win a qualifying festival, didn't have theatrical runs in New York and LA. So by in all intentional purposes, it didn't qualify and got a nomination. So that showed the real power of just ignoring any labels. If it was male, female, white, I don't like saying the other word. So that's a really good point. And then of course they join Captain Bigelow with Hurt Locker and the and wonderful Julia Phillips, who brought us Taxi Driver and Close Encounters of the Third Kind and The Sting. Her book, You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again. Definitely for you film historians out there, or if you want just a really great thrill ride about a time when movies were completely different. Again, it's You'll Never Work in This Town Again by Julia Phillips. She was Spielberg's producer, Scorsese's producer. So thank you for making mention of that, Angie, because it was a lot of those statistics have been coming out of this percentage of films or 4% of headrunners. And to me, I just feel like if we could all just equally get together and create, you know, that's the best way. I wouldn't give you 5 cents more or less than a guy equally as qualified. I wouldn't
right.
think that, you know, so I'm glad that we've been able to look at this. And also I appreciate that these are things that this show also gives to where we can share opinions about film, and it doesn't have to be a dispute. It doesn't have to be a you're right, I'm wrong. I mean, I wish I could do these episodes in a Starbucks. I would go to a Starbucks every week and get that ambience of a coffee shop, because to me it's just like we're sitting around talking movies. And now we get to do the really exciting part for me, because I love seeing younger artists, and I was fortunate enough to get a portion of my career started running a student film festival, and it used to be so fun to see filmmakers, a film directed by a second grader, and I would steal shot ideas from second graders. And so back to what started this for me was seeing Aiden play Whiskey. And I remember I saw him outside, and he was walking with his dad to the car. And I said, oh, nice to meet you. I'll be interviewing you. And the way he was just so genuine and so nice and said, thank you. I was right in the middle of where I was dealing with interviewing a lot of, you know, high mucky luck and some Emmy winners and some people that are, you know the type. And so it was just so refreshing to just be like, you know, wow, this person actually is glad that I came here. And that was a cool experience for me. So to watch his evolution online, and to watch through Facebook and all the mutual associates we have, it's been really cool. To let you guys know here, we're gonna be talking to this young man, and he started off, you know, doing modeling and spending time on set with his mom. At age 4, he picked up the ukulele and started taking lessons at the Joy Sakuma Ukulele Studio.
Yeah.
Helped him overcome a mild speech impediment at an early age, but it also opened a path for what was to become the start of his music career. I like that, because I know many people who have had to go in for, you know, they had a brain injury, so they had to change the way they did some things, and then it led to this career. So could you tell us any thoughts that you remember about that experience, Aiden?
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate, you know, all the kind words. You know, when I first started, I wasn't really into it. It was kind of just another hobby that I did, kind of like a side project, because I was really into sports at first. I was into baseball, golf, soccer. I was doing all that kind of stuff, and, you know, I really got into it when I started hearing the ukulele in contemporary music and pop music, and, you know, it was different than the regular Hawaiian music and, you know, what I heard in Hawaii. And, you know, pop and contemporary music is the kind of music that I enjoy to listen to, and, you know, just hearing the ukulele in that kind of just made me want to go, you know, made me want to play, really.
And you have, your mother had mentioned to me you have a love for Ed Sheeran. I think at the Whiskey, you had mentioned Maroon 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah, do you have a certain set of, like, if the house caught on fire, I would grab my B.B. King CDs and head out the door with them. Do you have your bands that are either always in your iPod, or you always have the CD for the car? Or I'm wondering what influences the brain of a 14-year-old who's been doing this so many years.
Well, you know, I first started, my influences were Jack Johnson and Jake Shimabukuro, and, you know, all of my heroes who helped me out and were my mentors. The kind of music that I listen to now, you know, I love Ed Sheeran still. One of my favorite bands right now is called The 1975, and they're really, like, electronic, and it's different. It's way different than the kind of music that I do, but, you know, I want to start doing that kind of music, and it's, like, 80s kind of sound, and, yeah, who else? Oh, and Train, yeah, of course, a Train. Well, I just got off of a cruise at Train. They invited me onto their Sail Across the Sun cruise, and I was just so honored to be on that lineup. And I was with Phillips, Andy Grammer, Rachel Platten, and just a bunch of amazing artists, a bunch of big artists. And I was just so grateful to be on that lineup. And, you know, just thank you to Pat of Train, who helped me and has been supportive from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, I see here in your bio, Train Sail Across the Sun Tour, Miami to Jamaica. Like you said, Phil Phillips, Michael Franti. Wow, that's really awesome. I have a friend nut about him and would just play me all these different CDs she had of him. Rachel Platten. This is an interesting one. What I really enjoy that you're getting for your age, and I'm not talking like I'm an adult and you're a teenager, but one of the beautiful things is with me is when you can look back and music will reflect, you know, it'll apply to stuff that was 20 years ago. So you can, you know, there's songs that come through my head and it just, I feel like I'm at Pearl Ridge with my first girlfriend having a hamburger, and it's like, and it's just, it's one chord, one note, one lyric, and everyone knows that's the real power of the music. So it's really cool that you're getting all these influences at such an interesting age, because I relate to you not in, I could ever hold stage with Jack Johnson, and I would flip out if the Pearl Bowl crowd was looking at me. But when I was 10 is when I started getting into film, and when I started watching whatever I was allowed to watch and started to decide what I wanted my path to be. So the fact that you've already gotten to, you know, you did your first full-length album, Echoes, this past December. It has 11 songs, 9 of which you produced and co-wrote. Tell us a little. We'll go back to the awards aspect. But what did this feel like for you to be working in Hawaii, LA, Nashville? I mean, at your age, like.
I get you. You know, it's just all these experiences are unreal for me, and I love traveling. I love, you know, the move to LA was a big, big move, and we're still getting used to it. We just moved here like 2 weeks ago, so we're still getting used to it. But music is worldwide, and I just want to show the kind of music that I do to everybody, and I want to keep performing, and I want to, you know, I want to travel everywhere. I want to go around the world, and that's what I want to do, is I want to show my music to everybody.
Well, you're putting out a good, I don't know what the good word is for Omen, you're putting out good karma, because in a very rare interview of B.B. King as a very young, like, 20-year-old man, he just said what he wanted to do was have the entire world think that B.B. King did the best he could at playing the blues. Mm-hmm. And that was a was his intention, and he definitely achieved it, and his musical output, whatever civilization coming next. And that's a cool thing. So to be in a town like Nashville, and like you're saying about traveling, I think that's the coolest thing to do. And for you to be doing it at the age you are, is there any specific, without spoiling anything that's on your new album or a song you don't want to talk about, to maybe use a song you talk about where maybe that song was inspired while you were sitting at the airport in Nashville or something you saw on the streets of LA?
So my album, Echoes, there's about, you know, as you said, co-wrote about nine songs on the album. And around half of them were written in Hawaii, and then around about like three or four were written in Nashville. And I wrote the song called Girl on the TV Screen, which is the first single I put out for the album. And that was written with three different writers in Nashville. You know, just getting that experience to write with a bunch of amazing songwriters who have written for huge artists, that was just, you know, I just had so much fun writing with them and learning how to write, really. They were teaching me, you know, different kind of techniques and different kind of, you know, skills to become a good songwriter. And I just grew when I was there in Nashville. And, you know, that's about it, yeah.
And you, for your album, right before that, because I had scrolled down here in your biography, I had it marked. Well, first of all, let's let people know that this is to help promote March 15th show at the Hotel Cafe down in Hollywood.
16th, yeah, 16th.
The 16th. Just off of the legendary corner of Hollywood and Vine. It's one block west, and then you take left and start to head towards Sunset, and it's a couple buildings just on the right, and Hotel Cafe is written on the sidewall when you enter in the back. It's a really cool venue. When you had mentioned, Angie, that there was some sort of another part of it being built, I remember now the last time I covered a show there, it had construction up, and I was wondering what they were doing. So now that kind of makes more sense. It is, for anyone who hasn't been, this is a perfect time to support Aiden, support younger artists, support indie music, and also just see this really cool, really funky venue that just, the two musicians I saw there could not have been more different, but they just had the equal passion. And I think we all know, be it, you know, Angie, if you're going after your next PA gig, or Aiden, if you're getting ready for a jam, or for me, when I'm getting ready to do a podcast, you know, passion is passion and going in your zone. So this place is really cool. And for those of you that don't know about Aiden, please check out and make sure I have this right, because I'm just going with the bio page says. It's www.AidenJamesMusic808.com, all one word, and that's www.AidenJamesMusic808, like the arrow code for Hawaii.com, and you can find shows, tickets, videos. But what I wanted to do was talk a little bit about, because Hotel Cafe, you're now adding another, I would consider it legendary, because it is, it just captures Hollywood. It captures the creativity that can be there without the dark spots of that area.
It's actually where John Mayer got his start and where Ed Sheeran got his start in America. And, you know, getting to play there is just, you know, it's pretty crazy to see how many legendary artists have played there and, you know, and how many secret shows are there, too, with some amazing artists as well. It's just, it's awesome. It's going to be an awesome show.
Oh, that's exciting. You get to share the same stage as John Mayer. I saw him play in 2009, right as he was kind of breaking out of pop and going more into blues and doing tours with Clapton and B.B. King and all of that stuff. And it was really interesting to see him transition from his poetry-like music to just down home, South Side Chicago blues with grit and catfish stuck in your teeth. But for Aiden, he's also played the Whiskey a Go-Go, as we said, House of Blues. I'm assuming, did you play Sunset? And is there another House of Blues you played?
No, it was the Sunset. And it was actually the Voodoo Room. Because what happens is, because Aiden's young, Paul, a lot of times they don't allow him to play. And that's actually kind of an interesting story with Hotel Cafe, because I've been trying to get him there for about a year now. And a lot of musicians in Hawaii had told me about the place. And, you know, I kept emailing. And then finally, it's weird, when we got here, you know, I just emailed again and said, we actually moved here. And then they wrote back and said, we'd love to try, you know, make it work for him. So here we are. But I think it's very unusual that he's being hired because he's underage, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a great honor and speaks volumes to the talent. You know, on a press side of things, it's an interesting side. Sometimes they're a little bit harder to get a hold of. And so I've always just seen shows where I know the musician, and usually the musician just says, come early and hang out. So that's where I got to really understand the vibes, because I've seen the opener for my friend that I had intended on seeing, and then seeing, they just really do a great job at scheduling. So I was doing the booking, has a really smart eye. Getting to play the Sunset Strip, I mean, you're doing things here that, you know, legendary bands that, I mean, I know you've heard of, probably some you're not old enough to listen to yet, but you're in a real big part of where rock and roll was ruling the world in the 80s. And you've performed across the country, I mean, in Japan, Tahiti, like you had mentioned, you've shared the stage with the likes of Jack Johnson, Mick Fleetwood. Angie would get this joke: if my mother played Rumors one more time, I would throw it out the car window. something about that song with people of a certain age where they just feel the need to hear the Fleetwood Mac playing when they're all just ready to fight and break each other in between each song, but there's this beautiful album. And then Jake Shimabukuro and the Grammy Award-winning group Train. Jake Shimabukuro, I've fortunately seen him one time, and then on KITV, we shared a morning segment with him, and he was interested in our project, and he wanted to network, and literally, we started networking with him, then he changed the managers, and the new managers thought we were just trying to use an excuse to meet Jake. And so it was really kind of like, we grew up with him in high school, and just being like, oh my gosh, like Jake Shimabukuro came up to us and said, you know, you guys are doing stuff with vets, I'd like to see what you guys are doing, please tell me more. So that is a message out there for those who listen to the show to learn some tips about the business. You know, seize any opportunity. You know, ask for that cell or that email. Don't use it till you get permission. But, you know, get a backup contact, because it can happen within one day that a manager or someone is gone, and then, you know, you're off the map that you waited 10 years to get on. So now with the very special thing, I would love to hear you tell us what it was, the very special thing that involved the Hawaii version of the Grammys. Please tell us about that through your eyes.
You want Aiden to speak or me?
Oh, yeah. No, Aiden, I would love to hear what about, you know, the, being the youngest and just that whole experience as an artist.
Yeah, so, you know, when we were in Hawaii, we always heard of the Nahoku Hanohano Awards as musicians. And, you know, being a non-Hawaiian artist, getting nominated is, you know, really, really cool. And, you know, you don't really see many non-Hawaiian artists getting nominated for that, since it's mainly in a Hawaiian award show. And I got nominated in the EP of the year in 2015 for my EP Live Again. And, you know, getting to attend, getting for the HARA members to, you know, see me perform, and getting HARA members' support. And what HARA is, by the way, HARA is the board of the Nahokus, and they are the ones who vote. And yeah, just getting to attend and getting that experience, it was really cool to get to go and get nominated, and that was cool. And I'm possibly up for 6 nominations this year, including Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Single of the Year, Male Vocalist, and Contemporary Album of the Year, and Favorite Entertainer of the Year. And, yeah, it's just really cool to have people support back in Hawaii and supporting what I do as a non-Hawaiian artist. And that's just really cool, getting the support of some Hawaiian legends, including Henry Kapono, who invited me to his Back in the Day concert back in 2015. And, you know, we performed together, and he invited, and we wrote some songs together. And that's just really cool to get the support of some legendary Hawaiian artists. And that's just cool. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Henry Kapono, a lot of people on the mainland, you would recognize his name more from seeing, say, friends did hit the mainland in high school. My mom and her friends would play that song. So.
Yep, that's me.
Oh, pardon?
No, exactly. Aiden, you know, when it's a funny story, because Henry even tells it at the concert that, you know, Aiden wasn't even born, you know. So he was aware that he possibly never heard of his music. And he made a joke of it at the show, which was cool. But Aiden actually had heard the music, because I would play it once in a while, and I would tell him about D&K and how big they were back in the day, you know, when I was growing up. It's, you know, it's kind of Hawaii is so special, Paul, and I don't even know how to explain it, but you know, because you're from there. But the fact that Aiden infuses ukulele into pop, rock, alternative rock, folk music, you know, is unique. You hear a lot of it now in the contemporary market, but, you know, the pop music stuff, but no one really plays it the way Aiden plays it, you know, and it's cool, and I think when people see him play, that's when they're like, holy cow, you know, that's very different and sounds very cool, and he's only 13, 14, whatever it is. When he was pulled up to play with Train in Hawaii, he was 8 years old, he was in the audience, and they said, Pat said, are you Aiden James? He pointed at him in the 6th row, and Aiden said, yes, and he goes, come up here.
Actually, I wasn't known as Aiden James.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't known as Aiden James at the time. But Aiden came up on stage, and, you know, Jimmy, who has the ukulele, who actually plays the ukulele in the song, Hey Soul Sister, you know, gave Aiden the uk. And then Aiden told Pat something like, this isn't tuned right. It was really funny. And the whole audience, you know, this is at the Blaisdell in front of thousands. And he was 8 years old. And Aiden was very kind of quiet back then and kind of shy. But it was so funny. And to this day, when we saw Jimmy on the Cell Class the Sun tour, Jimmy keeps bringing it up to Aiden and saying, it was tuned right. It's just the way I tune it. So it's kind of funny. Anyway.
Yeah, Oh, no, I love it. I love it. I mean, I'd love to go on stage, on Santana's stage, and go, oh, the mic doesn't sound right. No, that's really cool. I mean, I got to see CMK the year I moved from Kauai. They played Vadina Stadium on Kauai, and they were just getting so mobbed, it was impossible to talk to them about art or life or music. And if anything, it was just really cool to see them, you know, first or second row, and know that they've touched so many generations. And, you know, you, Aiden, it's really cool that you have some great grounding behind you. And you have parents that are looking after you and that are helping you with, because being a young musician, you know, out here in LA, it's, as we both know, being negative or judgmental, but it's very hard to come across people who are humble and, like you said, the aloha spirit and sharing and being able to do something and still be happy if you're not wearing a pinstripe suit like Jay-Z. So to know that you've overcome with what you have, and that you, my gosh, you had a video of you singing Train K Soul Sister and got 20 million views on YouTube. That is in itself is an accomplishment. And there's so many great things here that you've done that most people don't get to do by 30 or some even 40. it's cool that you're aware of that and not standing like I'm on a soapbox, but that's something that is just what Hawaii gave me, was to never forget, you know, where you came from. Like anything that's happened good for me, I can always just look back and go, oh, it's because that mentor in Hawaii, or oh, it's because that one hike on Kauai that you take and clears your mind. And I always tell people, you know, the Hawaiian Islands give you so much that we need to stop taking from them. But that's a whole other podcast. but with this, again, for those of you that tune in late or pass out to friends, we're here with Aiden James and his mom, manager, Angie LaPrette, with such credit to Hawaii 5-0. Please go back earlier in the podcast. She gave her take on the diversity in the business, not the racial, because we don't get into racial on this show, because we just love people, movies, and music. So there's no reason to talk about where someone's from or how they look. And Aiden will be jamming at the Hotel Cafe on the 15th. And this is a wonderful venue where John Mayer got started, and Ed Sheeran, and I've seen the wonderful Miss Alicia Witt, who you guys would recognize from Justified. She's now on The Walking Dead. She was in Mr. Holland's Opus. She was in Dune. She's 7, and she's been doing it for 31 years.
Wow.
And Humble has Apple Pie. She did a Pacino movie where she had to do 45 minutes of screen time with him out of an 85-minute movie. So she's actually held more screen time with Pacino than any other actor. And she just jams at the Hotel Cafe. I think that place you're going to see brings out a really just insanely cool passion from artists, because when I saw Alicia at the Viper Room, she was just as on, but there wasn't this extra kick. And the same thing with my friend who plays blues, and he lives down in the Delta, and he's an old school blues guy, even though he's only in his 50s. He had founded a very famous group in the 90s called the Squirrel Nut Zippers, and you see him play there, and it's just so much different than when you see him at the Fillmore in San Francisco or just playing in his studio saying, hey, what do you think of this? Because we recorded some tracks together. So I know you hear it, and I can hear it in your voice. You sound not like a kid, because I know as a teen you're moving into your own, but you have that same attitude and gratitude that you had when I met you at the Whiskey. So I appreciate you for keeping that intact and honoring the art and the music.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, yes. No problem. It's the number one thing for me. And I think for any artist, I think in Hawaii, we're all a part of something so special, and such a place that can give us all so much aloha spirit for whatever we do. We don't have to be directing films or playing drums. There's just so much possibility if you just let the islands flow through you. And I want to close my end before my last question is that I actually am so mellow. I have friends in Canada that actually say, you're not from America. And I go, I'm from Hawaii. And they go, oh, that doesn't count. And so I always had this thing in film school to where they were just like, you're only cool because you're from Hawaii. Like, you wouldn't be this nice if you were from, you know, the Midwest. And so I enjoyed seeing your bio today and knowing that you're getting to travel these places and soak these things in. So with that, as we have about 5 minutes here, I want to give both of you guys a chance to have the floor to just plug any website, album, blog, anything you'd like to promote. And then when you're done, I'll let you guys go and I'll just wrap up the show. But again, anything, whoever wants to go first, let it rip.
Cool. So my main website is AidanJamesMusic808.com. It's spelled AIDAN. So AidanJamesMusic808.com. I'm on all social medias, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. My Twitter is Aiden James. Facebook is Aiden James. Instagram's at AJ Official. Twitter is at Aiden James as well. So, you can Google me and find all my kind of stuff. My album is out now. Album called Echoes. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all that kind of good stuff. And I'm available to play wherever in the world, too. So you can find, like, booking info and all that kind of stuff on my website, AidanJamesMusic808.com, A-I-D-A-N. And here's my mom, Mama Jerk.
I just want to say, you know, support young talent. And, I forgot to mention earlier, one of the key elements with Aiden when he first started was when he played with Jake and Jack and Barry Pat, I mean, they never, ever treated him like a kid. It was very interesting. They would always treat him equally as a musician because they saw early on that he really loved what he was doing. And so that, I think, helped him, motivated him to keep going because none of us really saw that this was going to happen. So I think, you know, the main message is for the young, you know, to keep doing what you love to do. Aiden loves music. He loves performing. He's on online schooling now, so he's able to travel and do all this. And we as parents, you know, we sacrificed a bit to, and also had to let go of the normal schooling system, but, which was not easy. But we believe in him and we support him. And, you know, if you have a good foundation, that's really important. I know a lot of people don't. And unfortunately, some don't get the opportunities and whatever Aiden can do to help others live their dream, you know, he's all about that. So, but thank you, Paul, for having us. And, I'm sure we'll talk again.
Oh, yes, for sure. And we're thankful that you were able to come on our production team. We always go over who we're going to put where and how we're going to try to get listeners to bounce off of other shows. And And this is the time because we're heading into they're actually going to be showing Ben-Hur, the silent version, next week, and Stuart Copeland from The Police composed a new score, and then it's going to be playing drums with an 80-piece. Yeah, and it's in the acoustic, they spent $2 million on the acoustics alone. I used to cover concerts there, and it's a really cool place. So it just got me thinking, because I had to pass on it, but it just got me thinking that there needs to be more music. And so, you know, maybe in the future, we've never talked to someone about the process of doing a music video, or we've never gotten to talk with filmmakers who are your age and they get to work or work with crew that's of the experience of the people who shoot the videos. So there's tons of things that we're interested in that you're getting to go through. And we personally just want to wish you, all of you guys, success, but especially you, Aiden, because all of us, we look at you and we see some of ourselves. You know, we got to have success when we were young, and we had DVDs and Blockbuster when we were 22, and it's something to just always cherish and honor, and to continue to stay on the path of being yourself. So you do a lot of kudos. You deserve a lot of kudos for that. And my team really wanted to make sure that that was said to you.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks
that.
Thanks so much,
Thank you
Paul.
For having us, Paul.
No problem. You're welcome. And you guys have a great, safe weekend. And I'll talk to you soon over email, Angie.
Thank
awesome.
You, Paul.
Talk to you guys.
Aloha.
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 And that was Aiden James. Awesome ukulele player. Oh, this kid rips. It's like he's like a Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele, but you know he hasn't heard 50 different blues players like Hendrix had. And Hotel Cafe, Funky Monkey, such a cool place, right down off Hollywood and Vine, in between Vine and Amoeba Records. It's up the street. It's on the other side of the Jack in the Box. You have to look for a sign on the wall that's painted the Hotel Cafe. And sometimes there's an act going on before, so if you don't have a ticket for the whole night, they might make you wait outside. And so we'll hope to see you there. And thank you for the support and time. And you know me by now. I'm going to end it as I always do. Enjoy your day. Do what you need to do, but make sure and watch a good film. Aloha.